Mr. Evan Eggers, president of SureCruise.com, is on the phone from, well, I was almost said from Germany again, Evan. But I know you're here locally, and thank you for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
We were amazed at how clearly the your voice came through from Germany, and it's amazing the technology today. And
oh, I know, especially considering I was talking to you from my laptop, basically. It is amazing.
Right, and the clarity was absolutely terrific.
Well, it's nice that once in a blue moon technology actually works the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, like my emails. Or like my email doesn't at times. In any event, let's go to what's happening out there. What was particularly interesting, I thought, this week is that Carnival has canceled the Triumph's return to New Orleans.
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's interesting. So Carnival Triumph was scheduled to move back to New Orleans and be homeported there later this year, as you say. And Carnival announced that they're just not going to do it right now. They represent it as a postponement, that they want to bring this ship or another large ship like it back to New Orleans. But the demand just isn't there. And, you know, Carnival, we've talked before how supportive Carnival has been with New Orleans in general. First of all, providing ships for the hurricane relief for people to live on after Hurricane Katrina.
Exactly.
And they were among the first to bring a ship back. And to be
yep.
clear, they already do have one of their smaller vessels there, the Carnival Fantasy, that's already in New Orleans.
Right.
So we have to, you know, take them at their word that simply, you know, they weren't seeing the bookings that they needed to see in order to justify a ship of the size of Carnival Triumph. So, you know, it's kind of sad. And the way, so some of what the Carnival people were actually saying is that their feeling on the matter is that people are still kind of prejudiced or worried about going back to New Orleans right now for a cruise. And, you know, if these, you know, the drumbeat of bad news you hear coming out of New Orleans in the press scares people off, even though there's a lot of good stuff going on there. And certainly the, especially the areas tourists are likely to visit, are, you know, up and running and going strong.
Well, as I was saying, there's some lingering misconceptions by the vacationing public as to the recovery. But that it should be interesting. Carnival is on there right now, I believe. Carnival, the New Orleans Carnival.
Oh, yes, Mardi Gras, absolutely.
Mardi Gras, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm
confusing
it with the ship.
If you use the word carnival as somebody in the cruise business, all I can think of is Carnival Cruise Line.
Exactly,
so.
But Mardi Gras is the correct term. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know what else is kind of funny, too? The idea that people would be shying away from sailing on a cruise from Carnival is a little ridiculous because the vast majority of people who sail from any port never even do anything in the port. They just go from the airport to the ship and get on and go, come back
yeah.
to the airport.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people should take more advantage of the port when they, you know, maybe spend a night before or a night after, but mostly they don't. So, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there are some pre and post, but the thing is that it is a bit confusing, but, you know, I'm sure Carnival knows what they're going to do, and I guess now the Triumph will operate its exotic Eastern Caribbean itinerary, as they call it, beginning August 25th, and they're going to sail to Half Moon Cay, which is Carnival's private island, as we all know, in the Bahamas, and Grand Turk and Turks and Caicos, St. Thomas, and San Juan, which is, you know, their old pattern.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, let's see. There were some other interesting items. What happened with the Pride of America? It broke its moorings in Maui. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it was in Maui, docked in Maui, and the ship, in what were estimated to be gusty trade winds of around 50 miles an hour, just broke her mooring lines and took off. I guess she had to kind of skulk back to shore. Even the thrusters weren't enough to get her back quickly enough. They had to get a tugboat out to push her back in. So she, you know, was loose in the harbor for a few minutes there. It took about 90 minutes until everything was all shipshape again and tied up. But it could have been bad. I mean, the ship busted loose in the pier, dragging the loading bridge with it, apparently. Thank goodness nobody was on it. And really, there were no injuries to speak of and no real serious damage.
And probably no power on it at that time, I would guess.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, the details are still coming out, but we know that the ship is fine. It's going on with its regularly scheduled activities, and you know, no harm, no foul, I guess. But kind of a scary thing.
Sure is. Have you heard any more about the service? Remember, they were getting some bad press about the onboard service with the Pride of America. Have you heard any more about how that's improved?
Oh yes. I mean, the feedback is much better. There is no longer are we getting complaints from customers. In general, people are very pleased. It is different. I mean, being on a ship that has U.S. crew, it's just, you know, it's a kind of a different experience. And for a lot of people, it's a better experience. But no, they've gotten their act together. So the staff turnover has come way down, which is crucial for running any business, let alone a service business, a hospitality business. So they're managing it better. They've stabilized everything, and people are happy with the product now.
That's good, because it's such a great product. It's such a great idea. Just to be able to cruise around all the islands like that is terrific.
Well, and, you know, I've always been very complimentary that Norwegian has been among the most creative of cruise lines, coming up with ideas like putting the U.S. flag vessel, therefore able to sail around the Hawaiian Islands. They were the first to do cruising year-round from New York. They introduced this freestyle cruising concept with up to 11 restaurants on each ship. They've done a lot of really innovative things, and I give them credit for it.
Absolutely. Now, there was one other mishap, and that was the Regal Princess.
The Regal Princess, this is funny. The Princess's statement was that the Regal Princess touched bottom while leaving its port in Mexico, which I suppose is polite cruise line speak for, well, the ship kind of little bit ran aground, but not so much. So anyway, it touched bottom and damaged one of its ballast tanks is what they discovered. And the ballast tanks are obviously very important. The ballast tanks are used to shift weight in the form of water from one side of the vessel to the other to keep it stable in high seas or high winds.
Right.
And so having damage to the ballast tank is important. They had to pull the ship out of service, so the over 1,500 passengers who were on board the ship for their Panama Canal cruise had to all be taken off. That cruise was canceled. They were all flown home at Princess's expense, given a refund, a credit toward a future cruise, which seems reasonable. And right now it's not clear whether the ship will be able to make its next trip, which is March 1st, which is a 12-night South America trip. Now, I don't know if I told you this, Roy, but Regal Princess, along with its old sister ship, Crown Princess, not the current Crown Princess, I think is one of the most beautiful cruise ships out there. I mean, Regal is it's one of Princess's older vessels. It was designed by an Italian architect, so of course it's a nice-looking ship. They're just beautiful.
Right. Yeah, we had... We had what was the name of the one we had up here in Manatee County? It was Regal something or other. It was an old ship. It was owned by GoGo, and eventually it was sold to an organization down in Fort Lauderdale, and they just operated. I think it was called the Regal Empress, and they're now running it back and forth between Fort Lauderdale and the Bahamas. But I loved it because it was 700 passengers. And it was all the old wood inside, and a great old ship. We just loved it, and we're very sorry to see it leave this area. But yes, you know, some of the old Regal ships were just exactly that, very regal.
Yep, that's right.
And it's good to see that they're still out there and doing the job. What's actually happened with this onboard doctor's malpractice business, all these lawsuits, I understand.
Well, yeah, I mean, this comes up every now and then where somebody feels that they were not treated properly by the medical staff on board the ship, and so they'll sue the cruise line. Well, the challenge is, I guess there are two things, and I can argue both sides of this. Now, in this case, it's obviously, this case that has just been resolved by the Florida Supreme Court is a sad one, where there was a young woman who was diagnosed with the flu by an onboard doctor on her Carnival cruise, but actually had appendicitis. This is in 1997. When this happened. So she had a ruptured appendix and then got an infection, which of course is no surprise, the ruptured appendix, and it eventually left her sterile. So it's very, very sad. But the matter of law here is the cruise line responsible for the care provided by the onboard doctor? Now, the onboard doctor is an independent contractor hired by the cruise line. So on the one hand, I could argue the side that says, well, sure, they should be responsible. It's the cruise line ship. It's their, you know, they're hiring the doctor. But on the flip side, I could argue the case and say, well, you know, if you... ask your hospital to recommend a doctor to come, I'm not a hospital, ask your hotel to recommend a doctor to come see you if you were ill while you're traveling to a hotel, would you then expect the hotel to be responsible for medical care? I mean, they're just a travel business, the same as a cruise line is. And the reason why the Florida Supreme Court in this case said the cruise line was not responsible is because it's a matter of federal and international maritime law, that when the cruise line hires someone like an independent contractor on board their ship, in this case the doctor, that they're not responsible for accidents that doctor makes. So, you know, I can, like I said, I could argue both sides of it, but the court came down on the cruise line side.
But it's an interesting point, though, about the doctors. It seems that a lot of these doctors, some of that that I've spoken with, are mostly retired, and they're looking for something to do. They've given up their practice, and not that this means that they're not inexperienced. But, I mean, is it the type of doctor that you would expect to get in your normal everyday environment. I don't know. It's a difficult call. Most of them that I've met are not even U.S. citizens, so I don't even know how they would how they would sue somebody like that. You know.
Yeah, I don't know the details either. That might be worth something to look into and discuss further in the future too.
But anyway, it's certainly a comforting feeling to know you have somebody there, and that's the important issue.
Well, that's true, and certainly this is 1997, 10 years ago, and we do know for a fact that since then, over the past 10 years, the standard of quality of onboard care has done nothing but improve, both in terms of staffing and ship's facilities they have on board. So they can really handle a lot on board these ships nowadays.
Absolutely. Now, I have your website up in front of me, and I notice you have a new Vote the Boat with a big vote button up there. Tell us about it.
Yes, well, as you know, Roy, I'm a believer that we're in the business of selling fun, so we should have some fun with it. So what we decided to do is we wanted to get a feeling for what cruises people were most interested in booking and would like us to put on sale. So we're having an election about once a week, once every other week, at our Vote the Boat area of our website, where people can vote for which cruise they want us to put on sale. At the end of that period, at the end of that week, when the election is over, when the polls are closed, if you will, then we'll see which cruise got the most votes from our customer base, and we'll put that cruise on sale for them. And they can go ahead and book it, and we'll do something different every time. It might be an onboard credit, it might be a free shore excursion, maybe we'll give away a free iPod sometimes, who knows. But whatever cruise wins, we'll go ahead and put it on sale, and people can book into it.
It's on your blog. I'm looking at it now, if one wants to go to it.
Oh, well, right now, it'll be on the homepage soon, but right now, because we're easing into it, it's a brand new feature, but if somebody wants to go to it right now, they can go to surecruise.com/vote.
Oh, okay, because what I found it when I went to the website, I went to a blog, and it brought up the Navigator Cruise blog, and there was the big button.
Yeah, that's right. So it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing what cruises people vote for. And, it's people. Can they vote more than once? Well, they can have their friends vote for a cruise. So, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting to see what people do.
Is there anything coming up that we should be aware of for spring?
Well, for spring cruising, right now, in terms of just general trends in the industry, Caribbean is just the best value you'll ever want to get.
Right.
Still, Caribbean bookings remain weak as far as the cruise lines are concerned, so the prices are low. That's the big thing, the big buzz, the thing that people are talking about right now. Europe and Alaska are a little harder. They're very popular. The prices are higher. In terms of going on vacation, there you have it. Caribbean cruise is still a tremendous deal.
Yep, it certainly is. Next week, we're going to be on the road, so we're going to take a little break. So hopefully we'll be talking to you the week after.
All right, very good.
We thank you for joining us, and look forward to our next session.
Thanks, Roy. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.